to read today. The title of my message is Receiving What God Has For You. How many of you want what God has for you? I mean, you really want it. You want what God's got. Amen. Well, stand to your feet. Let's read John 20, 19 through 23. And we'll go through it today. Then, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. So Jesus said to them again, "Peace to you, as the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and he said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that, Lord, we would hear your word today, that it would speak rhema to our hearts, that, Lord, it would come alive inside of us, that we would capture what you want us to get out of this. And Lord, that we'd be supernaturally transformed by the hearing of the word, and we would all leave here encouraged from being in your presence. We thank you for this wonderful time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So I was in Indonesia last week for a conference titled Prophetic Glory Conference. It was for pastors and church leaders. There was about 40 leaders in this hotel. They rented a ballroom that we went in and we ministered to. I think I spoke 7 times in 2 days there. These were the titles I was given to talk on. Jesus' concept of money for kingdom expansion. Purpose, plan, and timing. 3, keys to a successful marriage. 4, kingdom wealth transfer. 5, the role of a father and mother in the family. And then 6, prophetic insight for 2017. And then 7, it was an impartation service. I thought when I, you know, because the title was Prophetic Glory Conference, Power, Sex, and Money. I'm like, what? A prophetic glory conference, and we're going to talk about power, sex, and money. And now, with the host, we took turns. So, I mean, we spoke like 13 times in those 2 days. The people were just hungry. They came, they listened, they took in. We had an impartation service. The power of God came down and just touched them people. But, you know, if we're going to move into what God has for us, we've got to make sure we take care of the desire for power, the want of sex, and the love of money. We got to deal with these issues. We got to know that we can put this in God's hands and trust Him, amen, for all those things, because otherwise they can interfere. Because how many people do you hear falling away from God for the love of power, sex, or money? It's happening too much. And so we, you know, dealing with the spiritual and life issues is what we talked about. Then I spoke 4 times on Sunday. I spoke in the largest church I've ever been in on Sunday evening. It was incredible. Sunday morning, they had to keep adding chairs to the front. So they kept moving me forward so they could add rows of chairs into the front, because the people just kept coming in, you know, because they heard an American was coming to speak. So it's like, wow. And it's just to know that people around the world are going through things, same things you are, but maybe worse, because we have freedom here in America. Not everywhere has the freedom that we have to do what we want, so but they still keep doing it anyways. They still keep pushing. I'm in Bali, Indonesia, in the biggest church I've ever preached in, to more people at one time, and just like, wow. But then I talked to them on the issues of life. When I go into an area, I always talk about these 2 things first. I always talk about getting them free, 1, and 2, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So some of the churches I was only in 1 time, able to speak 1 time, so it was all about getting free. And when I talk about getting free, I talk about getting free from heaviness and depression that the enemy's trying to bring on them, getting free from a poverty spirit, getting free from a spirit of unforgiveness, and getting free from a spirit of fear. Because these are all issues that people are dealing with in this church and around the world. Everybody's dealing with issues of life right now, and God is wanting to intervene in our lives so that we're not dealing that He deals with them. Amen. That comes from that message of when God will fight your battles for you is when you trust Him in those areas. That when you put on a garment of praise and the spirit of heaviness is where? It's gone. You can say it out loud. It's gone. Spirit of heaviness is gone from us. Spirit of heaviness is depression. It's that thing that the enemy's trying to put on people to depress you, to make it heavy so that you feel like you can't even get out of bed in the morning. And the cure is not a pill, it's the gospel. The cure is the kingdom of God. The cure is to put on a garment of praise. That's the cure. That's the only cure. I'm going to put on a garment of praise. Spirit of heaviness will be gone. Breaking the spirit of poverty. Do you know how to break the spirit of poverty off your life? You'll give. You give to the Lord, and it breaks that hold on your finances. You give to the Lord. You know, I'm in the jungles. When I was in the jungles of India, I'm talking to them about tithing. They're looking at me like I'm crazy. I said, do you want to be in poverty all your life? Do you want to always not have enough? Because that's what Delonda used to tell me when I was younger. She said, you know, we're never going to have enough until you learn to tithe. That's what she used to tell me. I'd be like, man, shut up, woman. I wouldn't say that out loud because she probably hit me back then, you know. I'm teasing you, honey. Our anniversary is this Tuesday, 36 years, huh? But as I talked about these things there in Bali, and in this other island I went to, you know, the people were broken. You know, when you stand up and you preach about a spirit of heaviness, and you ask them, who here has been battling heaviness and depression? Please stand up. And the whole church stands up. You're like, oh, shoot. Say, well, okay, well, raise your right hand if you're struggling with tithing. And 75% of the hands go up. Well, raise your left hand if you have unforgiveness towards somebody. And then, you know, all these other hands go. Well, raise your right foot. Or why don't you just run down here to the front and let's deal with it today? Because that's about where it gets to. It's like, you know, just forget it. Just come on. And, you know, and they put me on a timer, 35 minutes. I know, that's what I said. Wow, because I had a translator. So I had 35 minutes to deal with all this stuff. And I'm like, ooh, boy. But God shows up. God does the work. And in this passage today, we read that there's some things that the Lord wants to speak into us to help us in this life so that we don't lose ground, but we gain ground and are able to move forward into the place that the Spirit of God has for us. And the first thing that Jesus spoke when he came in through that door, he said, peace be with you. Peace, peace, peace be with you, amen? Receive peace today, above all things. Receive the peace of God today. He says that to him at first, right? Because, I mean, listen, he walked through the door. All right, guys, peace be with you. Peace be with you. He walked through the door. They were afraid of the Jews. They were afraid of what he was seeing. He just walked through the door. And his intent is that we not be afraid of a resurrected Jesus. Amen? His desire is that we would know peace in knowing that he is resurrected from the dead. See, that's why we can have peace. Because of what he's done. Because he didn't stay dead. He got up and he came out of the dead. Amen. And that we would know the peace of God because we know Jesus and the power of him beating death and coming back to life. Amen. That's where we can have peace, is because of what Jesus has done. It's like, wow, I have this revelation of Jesus, that he rose from the dead, that he beat death. I can be at peace because of what he's done. We can experience that peace as we accept Jesus into our lives. Amen? You know, and we know there's outside forces that come against us. We know there's things that the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy, right? That's John 10:10. The enemy of our soul comes to steal, kill, and destroy. That's the enemy's job. That's what he does. He does it well. He robs from us. He steals. He's trying to kill us. He's trying to destroy us. The enemy is at work. The enemy wants your attention. The enemy wants you to focus on him. He wants you to focus, you know, I bet if I went to lunch with half of you afterwards, I could sit down and you're thinking about your issue already instead of what we talked about. Because the issue, you know, when you can see it, you can see this is a bottle of water. And if I talk to you about a bottle of water but you never saw it, I'm going to have a good drink of water right now. And you're like, yeah, sure you are. Well, I'm telling you today, you're going to have a good drink of water of the Spirit, but you can't see it. It's got to be more than what you can see with your natural eyes, and it's got to be more than what you feel. See, because our feelings will deceive us. Amen? What we see will deceive us. It's got to be about, am I rooted and grounded in the kingdom of God? Do I love Jesus so much that I'm not going to be moved by everything going on around me? Because that's what maintains our peace. That's what gives us the peace to walk in. There's an old song that we used to sing. I won't sing it, but I'm going to read it. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds the future, and life is worth the living. Can't help myself. Just because he lives. Amen? Because he lives. It makes life worth living. Because he lived, I can live. Amen. I know that I'm never going to die. I have a confidence assurance in that. I am never going to die. Now, my physical body may be dying every day, but my spirit and my soul are being renewed day by day. Amen. That Ron King will never perish. I will have everlasting life. You will have everlasting life. But the whole thing about it is what are we going to do with what we've got right now? Because just going to heaven is not enough. It's how many people are you going to take with you? What are you going to do now that you know Jesus? How are you going to walk? How are you going to breathe in what Jesus is doing in you right now? Are you going to walk in peace? Are you going to be that living peacemaker that walks? And people say, wow, there's a man of peace right there. Or are they going to go, that person jacked up? In Indonesia, many people were under heaviness and in need of peace. A couple of pictures here for you. This is a really big church. And you can see people standing up there that were talking about they stood because they had been experiencing heaviness and depression. Next slide. This one, almost the whole congregation. I said, just put your hand on your head. We're going to pray right now. Almost the whole congregation stood up for these things. This is the pastor. I was praying for him and ministering to him after the service. I didn't know that he was a church plant by a mother church. But what I saw, what I told him I saw, what the Lord showed me is I saw the vine, but I saw branches coming off. I said, but I saw the branches branching out. And I didn't know that he was a branch that's beginning to branch out. And God just was confirming what is in their hearts already. And this was the early service there. All the people just standing. You see the pastor in the left corner. He's looking around. Because when you talk about these things, and then everybody's going, well, I'm experiencing heaviness, or I'm having a tough time. You know, he was just like, wow. And this one here, you can't see it real well, but the whole front altar area and all the aisles are filled with people that want to get out from under the heaviness. Just filled with people. I went through that crowd and laid hands on every single one of them. Up and down the aisles, it was just an incredible time. Next slide. That was the next slide? Oh, peace be with you. There's more in the foyer. I put more slides up in the foyer so you can see. you know, but I didn't have enough time to call him down to the front. I didn't have enough time to say, come down here and let you lay hands on you. I had to say, here, lay your hand on your head and let's pray real quick, because, bam, I watched my clock zero out. And they're like, do not go over time. I'm like, ah, 35 minutes for the translator just kills me. So I was praying as fast as I could, but then they said, second service, you could go a little longer. And God gave me words of knowledge on healing, and people were getting healed. And, you know, so did you play side 12? Okay. But I was in a place where I could preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to speak in tongues. And almost every person, I said, if you want this, just run to the front. They ran to the front. They were so packed in the front. I said, come up on the stage. It was like an area this big right here. They were just surrounding me on the stage. And it's just, they're crying out to God. I want to be filled. I want to be filled. And they were just a bunch of young people crying out to God, wanting to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And it was so powerful because God filled them. So many people, hundreds of people filled with the Holy Spirit. I said, how many of you spoke in tongues for the first time today? And so many hands went up because they just received. It was just an amazing time with God. And God is moving, amen. God is moving from Corona to the ends of the earth. And Jesus will give us peace, or peace is available to those that walk with Jesus, amen. We have it available to us. We know that the heaviness is a spirit, and that fear is a spirit. Okay, so we don't, and it's not from God, so we don't have to receive it. You don't have to receive depression and heaviness. You could put on praise and get it off. You don't have to receive a spirit of fear, because love destroys fear. So you just choose to love God and love people, and we'll destroy the fear. Amen? See, but when you're living in fear and you're afraid to tithe, see, like I was when I was younger, I was afraid to tithe because I thought, I'll never have enough money if I tithe. Like I said, Delon said, well, you'll never have enough money if you don't learn to tithe. But I was afraid to tithe because it was a spirit that had a grip on me. But I loved Jesus so much that I overcame that fear and started tithing. And it's amazing what God has done in my life since then. But as Jesus entered the room that day, he, number two, gave them revelation. He said, look, you see the holes? I don't have any, hallelujah. He said, go ahead, put your hand in here. He gave them revelation. Verse 20 says, when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. When you get the revelation of who Jesus is and what he came to do, peace will come to you and you'll be glad. You got to have revelation, though. The reality was they were still being hunted by the Jews. You know, the Jews were still looking for him. But the revelation came to them that Jesus was alive, and it overshadowed their issues of fear to bring the peace. And we all need a revelation of Jesus. We all need him. I've had him reveal himself to me as provider, my Jehovah Jireh, my provider. He's revealed himself in finances. You know, I can't tell you how many people have just come and given me money for provision. It's just amazing what God does. But I'm faithful to the Lord. Amen. And then he's revealed himself to me as healer. He has healed me. He's revealed himself to me as peace. He's given me his peace. He's revealed himself to me as protector. Because, you know, I go into places that most people won't go into, and God protects me through it. He covers me. He allows me to be there. And like, I'm amazed at how many people I talk to that try to get visas into certain countries, and they can't get them, but I get them no problem, and I'm able to go, and God covers me and protects me. Amen. I've known God as my protector. So those are just four things that I could share story after story after story of how God's moved, revealed himself to me in those areas. So when you have a revelation from God that you're healed, then you have a confidence that you're healed. Amen. Now, if I just said you're healed in the name of Jesus, you're like, how does he know? I still feel it. You know, but when you get a revelation from God, I'm healing you right now, you're like, woo, I'm on fire right now. Because it's not a revelation of Ron, it's a revelation of Jesus. But if we can learn to receive revelation from each other, we're going to go further faster. We'll go further faster. we'll get there in a hurry. Because I know when we speak the word over each other, it should bring a revelation to us, amen? You know, or when somebody says, you're healed in Jesus' name, and you're like, well, we'll see. And you're waiting for the pain to go away or the lump to go down, you know. I remember one day, man, I said, Jesus has healed your eyes right now. I believe it so much. Here, read. Here's my Bible. Read it right now. And she said, well, I have to go get my glasses. I'm like, I had a revelation. That woman was healed. But she couldn't receive my revelation. She had to have her own, and she never got one. So you got to get with Jesus, amen? You get with Jesus. You get revelation by being with Jesus, by celebrating with him, by praying with him, by worshiping with him. It can come when you're alone with Jesus. It can come when you hear it from the pulpit with Jesus. It can come when you read the word, that the pages jump off right into your spirit, man. And you're like, wow, I never saw that before. Praise God. It just becomes revelation to you. It becomes rhema to your life. It's changing you. It's transformational. But each of us have to get into the position where we get revelation from God. You know, we got to get rid of the junk out of that's interfering with our revelation and say, step up and get into the position of hearing from heaven. Because when you have a revelation of God, nobody can tell you anything different. Nobody can tell you anything different. I was prophesied to three times in 1995 that I'd be the pastor of this church. You know when I became the pastor of this church? 2010, 15 years later. But I went through some challenges in them 15 years where I thought, well, I'm just going to leave. I'm just going to go my way. You know, and the Lord said, no, you're not. I said, okay. Because I go where he tells me to go. We have to be in that position. Otherwise, if we don't have the revelation, we lose our peace. We can't maintain that peace. As that peace comes to you, Jesus wants you to know, do number three, which is go and give the peace. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons of God. Amen. Blessed are the peacemakers. So go and share with people what Jesus is doing in your life, and don't hold back. That's a great thing, you know. Part of what I love about missions is I go and I just say whatever God tells me. I do not care about anything. I go in there, I could blow it up, and hey, I'm leaving. Here I got to be like, okay, I love you, you know. You know, but in the mission field, you go in, man, and direct, and you know, you just tell what God is saying, and take it in. You go and you give peace. Don't hold back. You can walk in peace and it will show. People will see you're a person of peace. They'll know you're not a person of trouble. You're not a person of anger. You're a person of peace. They'll know who could, because listen, if you're walking in peace, they'll feel safe to come to you. My mom, that was my mom. She'd be like, Ron, I don't know why these people tell me all this stuff. It's well, because you're a person of peace. They can trust you. See, when you're a person of peace, people will come and they'll tell you things and they'll open up to you and they'll be like, you'll be like, I don't know why they're telling me all this. Because of the anointing that's on your life. Because of the peace. Because people want to come to a place where they feel safe that they can talk to. That it's okay to tell you things. That you're not going to, you know, club them to death and kick them out of the church. I mean, that's how, I mean, people think that way. You know, they think, oh, if I tell them, they're going to get me. And this is what happens, oh, right here, when they want the Holy Spirit. See, I'm on the stage, I think, in the middle of all these people, but all these people standing up down below are down there to get filled with the Holy Spirit and speak in tongues. And I had to bring them all up on stage. Go to the next one. it was just, it was crazy. I was so afraid to lay hands on these guys in the blue shirt, the white shirt there, because they would have fallen off the stage because they were right. They just started climbing up on the stage to get there. They wanted me to lay hands on them. And it was just amazing what God did. The roar that came up out of that house as these people got filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke in tongues. It just went on and on and on. They were just so hungry for it. And this is how I looked when I was done. I was sweating like a pig, man. I had a t-shirt on underneath, too. By the time I left that night, my whole shirt was soaked. I had to hang it up. I wouldn't even put it in my suitcase. I'm like, you got to dry out before we go home, boy. And it was just an amazing time, but it was very muggy. And but, you know, that's how I looked at the end of that. But the world is looking for peace. And as you get a revelation of Jesus and the peace comes to you, go and give it to someone else. Go and give it away, amen? That's how it works. And while we're doing that, help them to, number four, receive forgiveness of their sins. Amen? There's a lot of peace in knowing that your sins are forgiven. I mean, I know I'm forgiven, and I know I've forgiven everybody I think that I have to forgive. I've forgiven them. So there's no block on my forgiveness of sins. Hallelujah. You know, see, because you can only be forgiven if you forgive, right? So if you got unforgiveness, you put a block on your forgiveness. So, but when Jesus breathed on them the Holy Spirit, as it says there, that was their point of salvation. That is when the disciples became born again. Because it's by the Spirit of God that we become Christians, amen? It's by the Spirit of God, the revelation that the Holy Spirit gives us, that Jesus is revealed to us, and we accept him as our Lord and Savior. So salvation couldn't come till after the resurrection. So they're forgiven and free to be empowered by the Holy Spirit at that point, amen? Jesus took all of our sins to the cross with him. You have to understand, everything that we've ever done, he took to the cross for us. He paid the price for it, so that when we have the revelation that Jesus paid it all, we can be forgiven. Not only be forgiven, because in Psalms 103 it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all my iniquities and who heals me of all my diseases, who crowns me with loving kindness." See, I mean, so bless the Lord, O my soul, because he has paid the price for all my sins. He's paid the price for all infirmities. And he's put a crown on us of loving kindness, so that we can actually be loving and kind. Amen. It is there and it's available to us. So Jesus paid it all, amen, so that we could be free from our sins. So another step is that we must also forgive those who have hurt us. How many of you have ever been hurt by somebody? We got to forgive. We have to forgive. There's not an option. You have to forgive. If you have unforgiveness in your heart, it's going to block your forgiveness. Forgive, and you shall be forgiven. Because, listen, unforgiveness leads to torment. When he said that, he's talking to the believers. He's not talking to the people that don't believe in him. He's talking to those that believed in him. Unforgiveness leads to torment. It opens the door for you to be tormented by the enemy when you're walking in unforgiveness. So we have to forgive, amen? Listen, I know it's difficult. I know it's not easy to forgive some of the wrongs that have been done to you. But I didn't write the book. I know what works. Because I've had to forgive some people. And man, when I forgave them, the weight that lifted off of me was incredible. And when I just said, "Lord, Father, I forgive them." And he's like, whoosh, felt like I could fly. Because that weight just lifts off of us. It doesn't mean that when you forgive somebody, you're not saying, "Oh, what you did is okay." That's not it. What you're doing is say, "God, I'm not going to be burdened by this any longer. I'm not going to be under the weight that the enemy's trying to put on me. I'm going to be free." And we forgive, and you let it go, and you're like, wow, there's so many things I did to Delonda I can't remember. Hallelujah, Delonda says. I mean, when I was young, I was dumb. And I did crazy things. But God, in his graciousness, when she forgave me and he forgave me, it's like I never did them. Isn't that what justification is? Just as if you've never sinned? And we let it go. There's no holding on to wrongs done to us. We can lead people to Jesus so that they know forgiveness and the freedom that brings the peace of God with it. Because we all need peace. Amen? You know, Romans 10:9, it says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. Confess him. Confess him. Confess what he's done in your life. Don't be afraid to share with it with people. Confess the Lord Jesus Christ with all your heart. You say, well, I'm not perfect yet. Well, you probably won't ever be perfect. Amen? You know, but you can confess Jesus. You can confess him. Hey, I met Jesus. And I'm forgiven of my sins. Yeah, but you still sin. Because that's what people tell you. You still sin. Yeah, but I sin less. I'm not sinless. I sin less. Anybody perfect? Okay, so we're all in that process of being perfected, amen? And when we get there, we're going to be perfect, amen? We're going to get there because we're working on sinning less, amen? We're working on what Jesus has done for us. We're working and we're walking it out in our lives so that we're not staying trapped and caught in this, in the enemy's plan to destroy us. We're moving forward so that we're not destroyed, amen? That we're receiving the abundant life that we have in Christ Jesus so that we're alive in Christ. We're not dead, we're alive, amen? We celebrate Jesus because we're alive in Christ. We celebrate Jesus because of the peace that we have in him. So we can lead people in a prayer to say, hey, you know what? Confess the Lord. Confess that he died for you. And the disciples, they got that revelation that he resurrected. And they've passed that revelation down to us that Jesus died and on the third day he rose again. Did they understand it all at that point? No. They were still afraid. My message on Friday night is going to talk about the doubt that the disciples had after the resurrection. At the ascension, the doubt. The rebuke that came to them because they still doubted. I mean, after seeing him, after touching, after all that, they still doubted. They're like, yeah, no, I don't know. Confusion. How many of you ever experienced doubt and confusion? Yeah. You just need the peace of God. One of the sayings at the conference this last week was, repentance is not crying. It's changing. It's not just going, boo-hoo, I sinned. It's going, well, I'm not going to do that no more. It's walking away from it, amen? Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you praise today. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are the God of peace, that you dispatch peace to your people. And that, Jesus, your desire is to give us revelation, to reveal to us the things of the kingdom, to reveal into our hearts the things of God so that, Lord, that we don't doubt and we're not confused. But, Lord, that we can stay the course and that we can receive that breath of life, the Holy Spirit, into us. And, Lord, that we're a new creation. Father, I pray for every one of us here today. That, Lord, that we would be that new creation. We'd be renewed today in our faith, in our belief. Father, that we would just so wholeheartedly just be about Jesus in our lives. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, I need to make a commitment to Jesus today. I just need to get to that place of revelation of who he is so that I can walk this out in my life. I need Jesus to reveal himself to me today. And I want to do that by just giving him my life. If that's you today, just raise your hand right now. Yeah, amen. Amen. Anybody else? Okay, amen. Maybe you haven't been where you know you're supposed to be. You've kind of felt like you haven't been moving forward with God. All right, amen, right here. And you just need to get, amen, back there, amen. You just want to get back in that place where you know God's got you. You know you're right where he wants you to be. Amen. Why don't we stand? Stand right now. And I don't want to embarrass you, but I feel like it's, you know, it says confess. Confess Jesus. And I feel like today that we just need to make a public confession of our faith by saying, I'm committing today. If you raise your hand today and you really meant it, I want you to just come to the front right now. I want you to just come right now. If you raise your hand and you meant it, come on to the front. Amen. Some more hands went up. Come on. Don't be afraid. Nothing to be afraid of. This is a great step. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand today on this, huh? So, let's come this way. Come this way. And let's all say this prayer together. Can I get somebody to stand behind them? Somebody just stand behind them right now. Danny. Praise God. Let's just all say this prayer in agreement today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus. Jesus! Forgive me of my sins. Wash me. Cleanse me. Make me whole today. Reveal yourself to me, Jesus. I want to know you. I want to walk with you. I want to talk with you. I want to be your son or daughter. Jesus, I give you my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand today. So go ahead and turn around and let them pray with you right now. Those of you out here, Thursday night, we start at 7. Wednesday night, we're still having service. Wednesday night, we'll probably be out in the prayer room because we're rehearsing some things in here on Wednesday night. But we'll be out there on Wednesday night for Bible study. But Thursday night, 7 o'clock, the missions conference is going to start. And we believe God's going to do some great things, that you're going to just be impacted, and God's going to touch your life through this conference. So, Father, I thank you for these men and women of God. I thank you, Father, for the love that you have for each one of us. Pray that the peace of God go inside of each one of us. That, Lord, that you cover and protect and keep each person here. That you bless them with health, finances, Father God, and the protection of the Lord God Almighty. Lord, we give you praise today, and we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, you don't have to run.